Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour. It's the who. Power Hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour. It's the who. Power Hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics. Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power. The one, power, hour. It's the who, power, hour. Yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, hour. It's the one, power, hour. It's the who, power, hour. Yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, hour. It's the one, power, hour. It's the who, power, hour. Yeah, yeah, blacks, Hispanics, and natives. Power, hour. It's the one, power, hour. It's the who, power, hour.
Hey, shalom, shalom, Mosai in Christ, bless. Welcome to the Wednesday night edition of the Power Hour, where we discuss biblical topics pertaining to the Native Americans, the blacks, and Hispanics. I am Captain Amariah, and today with me,
Soldier O'Daniel.
All right, and I'm your host that never does the most, because according to the scriptures, you can never do too much in serving the Lord, right?
Yes, sir.
All praises to the Mosai in Christ that we have another opportunity to come bring you his word as it is written. As you can see, today's topic is seeking the Lord 10 times more. Again, that's seeking the Lord 10 times the more, right? Let's get right into it because we only have 1 hour. Let's start with 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Anyone that knows me knows that this is one of my favorite scriptures, and we'll start there.
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, and verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
So this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. His second letter, right? Because they were that jacked up, right? It wasn't just one letter. It was, you know what? They didn't get right the first one, so let me get right the second one. Right, exactly. If it be the Lord's will, they'll get right this second time around, right? But he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Meaning, examine yourselves whether you be walking according to this. I came into repentance when I was 25 years old, 26. Wait, how old am I?
34.
25. I thought I was 19. No, but so when I first came into this, I was obviously not walking according to this, right?
Right.
Right. I didn't wake up one day and say, oh, you know what? I need to examine myself whether I be in the faith. It took the Lord sending somebody, a chosen vessel, to show me, hey, listen, you need to start walking according to this because this is your true heritage.
Right.
And it didn't happen overnight, right? I didn't run away and say, oh, my goodness, everything's a lie and I'm unplugged from the matrix. It was slow, right?
Yes, sir.
It started with not eating certain foods, keeping the Sabbath, fringes, things that pertain to the outward appearance, right? And slowly the faith starts to build and it begins to manifest to this thing to where now you believe that you're Israel, right? It comes with the name change, the circumcision, all these different things. But it says that we need to prove our own selves, because every single last one of us, we have an affinity for close friends or family or parents or brothers, sisters, whoever. When we first hear this, that you want to run and tell them, right?
Right.
And say, oh my goodness, listen, we're the Israelites. But it's not meant for everybody. And you can bring it out clear as day. At least to you, it's as clear as day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to them, it's as clear as mud. And they're not seeing nothing that you're saying. And like, okay, this guy's acting kind of crazy. So that's why it says that we need to prove our own selves that we're walking according to how God says we need to walk. That way we can seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Because the best thing that you can do is be the example, right? Teaching somebody the best way is by your example. But it says, prove your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Prove that Christ is in you by doing what? Keeping the commandments. It's very simple. Everyone likes to question and wonder, What is the secret sauce? The secret sauce is simply keeping the commandments and the faith of Christ. Absolutely. That's the simplicity that we have in Christ Jesus, is that we have to keep the commandments. It says, except you be reprobates. And that's where none of us want to fall short and fall into that category, because why are we here then, right?
Right.
No one wants to get just a little taste of the gospel to be put right back to sleep.
Exactly.
We've all forsaken something, and we've all, anyone that's been here for any supposition of time, whether it be a year, 2 years, 3 years, has suffered some type of loss, whether it be a tangible loss of vehicles and like material objects, houses or jobs or friends or family. You've suffered something. So now at this point, why go back?
Exactly.
There's nothing to go back to.
Exactly,
at this point, exactly. At this point, we have to just remember Lot's wife, right? And just push forward to that mark that we have in Christ Jesus. From there, let's go to Baruch 4, verse 28. No, you know what? Hold on. Because we were just talking about this before we went live. Let's go to Job 32 real quick. It says nothing to do with the topic, but I was asking the brothers if they heard about the whole thing about them wanting to remove the name Aunt Jemima and the image that's tied to that syrup label, right?
You said Job 30 and 2.
Job 32 and, no, I'm sorry, Job 42 and verse 12, right? Because there's this negative stigma that's tied to Aunt Jemima, that she was this ugly person, and so now they want to change it because now we're seeking social justice and equality and everything else. First off, the scripture says the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans are above all people on the face of the earth.
That's right.
We're not equal. We're not less than. We're above all people. We're seeking equality from a man that was made to be less than us. But that's a whole different topic, right? But read that.
The book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and a thousand she asses.
So now this is when the forefather Job went through hell. He caught hell. Satan was given permission by the Most High God to put Job through all types of manner of afflictions and tribulations to try him, to try his faith. And Job stayed faithful. And he lost all his substance. He lost everything. Right. His wife told him, listen, curse God. And he said, listen, you speak like a foolish woman. Right, because it's G-O-A, God over anything. So the latter end of Job, he was blessed with more children that he lost. He was blessed with more substance. He was blessed with all these things. Read on verse 13.
Verse 13, he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters.
So now he had more children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Read.
And he called the name of the first Jemima.
See that? He called the name of the first Jemima, right? Like Aunt Jemima. Jump to verse 15.
Verse 15. And in all the land were no woman found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren.
You see that? In all the land, in all the world, there was no one that was better than Aunt Jemima. So this negative thing that's tied to Jemima is foolishness, all right? I just wanted to bring that out to show you that scripturally, according to God, Jemima was a fair sister in the eyesight of all the land. But from there, let's go to Titus 2 and verse 12. Titus 2 verse 12, because I was having a conversation just today about somebody, and they were talking about grace. Every Christian's favorite subject, right? Mm-hmm. Grace, grace. Because you come to them, right? Because you come to them with the law, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's the civil, there's the ceremonial, there's the dietary, there's the moral, and then there's the sacrificial. Christ dying on the cross doesn't mean that it's okay to eat pork. It doesn't mean it's okay to shave your beard and look effeminate. It doesn't mean that a woman can now put on a masculine spirit and make herself 50-50 with man. The only thing that was done away was the sacrificial law, because those things couldn't make us perfect. But every Christian loves, ain't no faith. Grace. We're under grace.
Not my God.
We're under grace. Okay, well, tell that to your apartment complex when you don't pay rent for 3 months.
Exactly.
And then see if you ain't getting evicted and all your stuff ends up on the front porch. Right, but read that. Read Titus 2 and read verse 11.
The book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
So the grace of God that does bring salvation, because grace does bring salvation, because it's because of God's grace that we're able to be here today to bring out the word of the Most High to those that are without this glorious gospel. It's because of the grace that the Lord has shown us that we're able to face the east and give praise to him as acknowledging that we're the Israelites and what's required of us. But it says it appeared to all men, meaning all 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Because at one point in time, the northern kingdom was cut off from being a people. They went into idolatry and all manner of foolishness. So God said, okay, you know what? I'm going to cut you guys off and I'm going to deal with these people. That's who the Jews are in the New Testament. But read verse 12.
Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
So grace is supposed to teach you something. And Paul makes it very clear here in his epistle to Titus that grace is supposed to live soberly and righteously in this present world. And we know that Christ is the same today as he was yesterday and moving forward. Christ never changes. The Lord never changes. So when it says in this present world, it's the same thing today. Grace is teaching us to live righteously in this present world. In this present world where you have this farce of the Black Lives Matter movement, right? There's nothing wrong with our people wanting to get themselves out of these terrible conditions. But they have to understand that if you want to hide anything from a so-called black man, you put it in a book, right?
Book. Yep.
You put it in some type of legislature with words that are pencil big, right? Real small lettering. No one's going to read that. Not understanding that these things are not for our people, but they're meant to push the agenda of the Antichrist, which is everything that goes against the Christ of the Bible. Christ teaches us that we are supposed to live soberly and righteously right now, coming back to his laws. So again, the topic is seeking the Lord 10 times the more. What does that mean? What do we need to do as a people to start seeking the Lord 10 times the more? Let's get Baruch 4 verse 28. Baruch, a short book, but one of my favorites. Those they may not know, it's in the Apocrypha, the book that was removed by the Christian Protestants because it uncovers and unveils many things that would just completely expose the Christianity lie that the Gentiles in the New Testament are not Israelites, among other things, but Baruch 4, verse 28.
The book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 28. For as it was your mind to go astray from God, so being returned, seek him 10 times more.
So it says that, for as it was your mind to go astray from God, because when you read the Old Testament and you read the first five books, it tells you that Moses reintroduced the law to the nation of Israel, right? And they were given the opportunity to say yea or nay.
Right.
And they all said, everything that thou hast commanded us, Moses, we will do. Yeah. Everything you said, we will do. Regeneration is a completely different topic, so we won't get into that. But we were those same people back then that said, we will do it. So we're not guiltless when it comes to the judgment that the Most High has prepared for those that don't come back to him and love him in sincerity and truth. So it was our own mind to go astray because the commandments, what they do is they put you in a box. They discipline you. And we as a people, we love Christianity because Christianity says, sin, 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 sin.
What is it? God hates the sinner, not the sin.
Right. God hates the sinner, not the sin.
Foolishness.
See, I didn't grow up in the Christian church, so I didn't have to come out of that foolishness. But I still had to come out of foolishness, right? Things
right.
that pertain to the world.
Right.
So, but I hear things like that, right? Oh, God hates the sin, but loves the sinner.
That makes no sense.
What scripture is that?
Exactly.
It's not in the Bible, but it's a feel-good song to our people. So it was our own mind to go astray because if you're told, listen, Othniel, you come into this truth, you're going to lose family, you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose substance, right? That good job you had, kiss it goodbye. That nice car you had, see you later. You lose everything. Or you could follow this and get that much the more and then be happy
right.
in this present kingdom.
Let's see, that's that's where that examining yourself comes in. Are you going to do it?
Absolutely.
Are you going to leave?
And most people, they're not ready for that. Mm-hmm. You're like, hold on, wait. They don't. That's why even people that when they hear slave ships, oh, I can see that. They can see Christ is black. Yo, I can see that. It's clear as day. That's what got me first, was that Officer Issachar proved to me that Christ was black.
Right.
I said, damn, if it's that obvious, then what's not so obvious that they're not showing us?
Exactly.
So me, with my conspiracy theorist mind that I had in the world, was just researching. So if you're told that you have to be put into this box and discipline yourself, but don't worry, there's a reward. You can't see it yet, but there's a reward. You can be like, nah, I'm going to take what's tangible.
Right.
I'm going to take that immediate satisfaction.
Right.
That's why it tells you. Here, let's get it real quick. Hebrews 11, verse 25. Let's see what the forefather Moses did. In lieu of taking that immediate satisfaction that most people do, Hebrews 11, verse 24. Most people take that immediate satisfaction because they can see it, they can feel it. Right. But that's what faith is. Actually, start at verse 1, and then we'll jump up.
All praises. I was just about to ask if we could start.
Yeah, yes, sir.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So the substance that we all hope for, obviously, is the kingdom of heaven. We can't even begin to fathom. Paul made it very clear to the church of Corinth that eyes have not seen nor ears have heard the things that God has in store for us. We can't even begin to imagine it. Me, in my corner of mind, when I think of the kingdom, I think of food. Because it's like, that's the only thing for me that's tangible that I actually like. Okay, food, and man, I'll have a nice chariot, and I'll be able to do... So we can't even begin to fathom what it's like to even live forever.
Right.
Right? So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? Now jump to verse 24.
Verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
See, now, we read this, and we don't understand that basically what he did was, it was basically refusing to be called the son of whatever the richest person in this entire world is. What's the CEO of Amazon? He's worth like $170 billion, no, something crazy like that.
He jumped. It jumped.
Did he?
Significantly during COVID-19.
Oh, gosh.
He's one of the, I believe he's one of the trillionaires now.
A trillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bezos.
That's
Jeff
it.
Bezos? Okay.
Yeah.
So basically what Moses did was he denied being a direct heir of Jeff Bezos and having all that wealth and anything that you want like that. Same thing with Christ. When he was shown all the kingdoms of the earth, people got to really realize and put themselves in that situation. If you were told, hey, listen, you can have whatever yachts you want, whatever money you want, whatever women you want, whatever you want, it's there for you. Most people are going to say, okay.
What's up?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Because it's there, it's tangible. But Moses said, nah, listen, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Read on.
Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
And then that's the key right there is Moses understood that those pleasures only last for a season. And that's what we understand, is that all the amenities and things that this kingdom has to offer us is only for a season. It's only for a supposition of time. It's 70, 80 years, maybe. But the way the system is set up, we're still not going to prosper the way that the heathen do. So why would you have this be your kingdom when this is not supposed to be your rest? Let's say you do have a good job and you make, let's say, $100,000 a year, right? You make six figures a year, which is good, right? You drive a nice car. That's your kingdom? Really?
Right. Like, is that all you got to show for?
That's your kingdom? Is trying to chase the coattails of your oppressor? That's all you're living for? No, we seek plainly that we seek a more better and perfect country, right? Go to Proverbs 2 and verse 4. Proverbs 2, verse 4. Yeah, no, but he was saying that like he thinks that like it jumped though.
Yeah,
but let's say it didn't jump, right? Let's say it didn't jump. $156 billion? Really?
Hey, what can you do with that in the life?
Really? And I'm over here losing my mind because I'm getting essential pay for $200 a week, and I'm like, oh, ballin'. Can no one tell me nothing? ridiculous. The crumbs of this kingdom. And I'll tell you what. Proverbs 2, verse 4.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 2, and verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
See, that's what we got to do. We have to start searching for these laws like it's a hidden treasure, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a lottery ticket that we just can't cash in yet.
And that goes back to what you said. Like, when you want to hide something from a Black, Hispanic, or Native American, put it in a book.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you tell them, hey, go to this library, go to that road, go to this book, they won't do it.
And you know what's crazy is that 300 years ago, we were being killed for reading.
Exactly.
And now we won't read to save our lives.
Exactly.
Literally to save our lives. Because faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. All you got to do is read. It says, blessed is he that readeth. Come into the book that is your heritage and read it. But it says to seek it like it's hid treasure. You have that lottery ticket. It's a fixed fight. You just can't cash it in yet.
Hey, it's a hidden treasure in a lot of people's house.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a hidden treasure sitting right there on your dresser.
Collecting dust.
Exactly.
Now, as much as I didn't subscribe to Christianity or any other organized religion, I always had a Bible, though. Always. And then I'd go overseas, and when things would happen overseas, I'd be missing my family. I'd always read John 3:16, right? Because that's all I knew. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. It just feels good.
Bro, I didn't even know John 3:16.
No? Mm-hmm. Well, that's the one thing that I actually knew. That's the one thing I actually didn't know. But let's go back to Brute 4 real quick. Brute 4, verse 28. All right? Again, the topic is seeking the Lord 10 times more. Because all the wickedness that we've done in our lifetime, let's say that you weren't out there in the clubs and you weren't party hopping and doing everything else. You did something that was still contrary to what the Bible says. And you put your all into that contrary against God. So now seeking the Lord, you have to come back 10 times more. Read that.
Baruch chapter 4, verse 28. For as it was your mind to go astray from God, so being returned, seek him 10 times more.
So let's deal with that first part. When it says, for as it was your mind to go astray from God, let's get Hosea 4, verse 6. Because it was our own minds. We went after our own lust. And that was the spirit that we had as a people from the very, very beginning, right? Eve was given commandment to be taught by her husband, but she wanted to learn the philosophies and everything else of the other people because, again, the commandments discipline you. They put you into a box. And we as a people, we see everything that we can't do versus everything that we'll gain from doing it.
Right.
So, yeah, you have this immediate satisfaction of committing the sin, but you lose out on living eternally. Mm-hmm. And not just living eternally, but you're going to die for it.
God gonna kill you, dude.
It's crazy. But our people, that's why it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Our people don't have fear because they don't have faith. But read that.
The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
So these things are what we call generational curses, all right? Generational curses that came upon us because Moses gave us the warning back in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. He said, hey, listen, if you do these things, you'll be set on high. But if not, guess what? Thou shalt come down very low, and all these curses will come upon you, and they will pursue thee until thou art destroyed. It says that all my people, meaning the Israelites, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The bottom of that precept lets you know that the knowledge is keeping God's laws. We said, nah, you know what? I'm good on abstaining from certain things. I'm going to eat pork because my oppressor says it's the new white meat. I'm going to eat shellfish, even though you said not to, God, because my oppressor said that's a delicacy. Right? We want to keep Christmas and we want to keep Father's Day and Mother's Day and birthdays and Thanksgiving and all these things because it makes us feel good.
It's for the children.
It's for the children.
That's the
excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. But he said, listen, you're destroyed for this lack of knowledge. And because we were destroyed for not keeping his laws, jump to chapter 5, verse 15.
The book of Hosea, chapter 5 and verse 15. I will go and return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense.
He says he's going to go and return to his place, meaning he's going to shun the Israelites completely until we acknowledge the wrong that we've done in the eyesight of the Lord. Because again, back in Moses' time, we all said, yay. Everyone, last one of us agreed. And even more so than that, when you read in 2nd Ezra, the 9th chapter, before the earth was ever created, we all said, yay. He said, listen, you're going to go in and you'll play the role of the sons of God. You'll be the sons of man and you'll be the sons of the wicked. And people will say, oh, man, that's kind of messed up. He's God. He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
Just give thanks that you're not the sons of the wicked.
Right. You still sign your contract. You got to do what you got to do.
And not only did you signed it with his son's blood.
Exactly.
And then here's the thing, too, is that Christ was the Most High's first creation, right? His first begotten, whom he loved the most. And he had him brutally murdered. Brutally. It talks about them tearing out his beard and whipping him and everything else, spitting on him. And he did that to who he loved, who obeyed all of his commandments. So how much the more those of us that stray away from God, when that grace period's up, because we don't want to deny ungodliness in this present world when he returns, how much the more do you think that punishment is going to be? To those that he didn't create first.
Exactly.
Oof.
They wanted the pleasures of this world.
That's exactly what it was. They didn't have that same spirit that Moses had and said, now you know what? That's pleasures of sin for a season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But read again from the top.
The book of Hosea, chapter 5 and verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early.
Every single last one of us has been afflicted to some point or another in this walk. That's what compelled me to start seeking the Lord, was being afflicted. It was like, damn, I think I'm a good person. I think I'm doing right. I think I'm doing A, B, and C. I was being afflicted because it seemed like every step I took two backwards. So then it's questions. Why? That's all the Lord wants. It's kind of like when you have your earthly father. He's teaching you a lesson, and you don't see it. He wants you to acknowledge that you were wrong, which is why he punished you in the first place. Now, the Most High works on a whole different level. Unfortunately, it was 400 years of slavery on slave ships with yokes of iron, but he's still just for what he did,
right?
Because we're the ones that went astray in the first place. So, right here in Baruch 4, verse 28, when it says, for it was your mind to go astray from God, we're the ones that went astray until we acknowledge our offense. And that's what we're doing now. That's where you're seeing all these Israelites everywhere wake up. That's why when I see people falling out, it's like, where the hell are you going to go?
Right.
In these last days, especially, like all this turmoil and all these prophecies coming to pass, where the hell are you going to go in these last days?
And it's like you said, like with Father, you know, giving you your discipline, he wants you to acknowledge what you did wrong. Our people will acknowledge it,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really understand.
Exactly.
It's just like, okay, I was wrong, move on.
Right,
but
exactly.
You don't really know. You just stray away from it.
And then that's where God deals differently, too, because he says that he wants that that contrite and broken heart, right? He wants that level of humility when you come to repentance, because you're really acknowledging everything else.
Exactly.
Now, that's where the law comes in, though, because it's the law that teaches you what sin you were in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it wasn't for grace and mercy, I probably should have died 100 times today.
Years ago.
It says a foolish thought is sin. So all the foolish thoughts that we have throughout the day, all these things that we battle with daily, different lusts, it doesn't have to be sexual. It could be whatever lust that you have that you battle with daily. None of us are worthy of this life. That's why we have to make our calling and election sure. Let's go to John 14, verse 26. Because Baruch says, so being returned, seek him 10 times more. So let's get the so being returned.
John 14, 26.
Yep, that's the one.
Right. The book of St. John, chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
It says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, meaning the laws. The laws at some point in time is going to come back into our remembrance, which is going to teach us all the wrong that we did against the Most High, teach us our shortcomings, because you can't know where you fall short if you don't have a starting point. That's why this whole thing about, oh, grace, love, grace, it's all a farce, because, okay, if you're in grace, but you're saying in the same breath that Christ died for your sins, then what sins are you committing?
Right.
Right.
And that's where that humble spirit comes in, where you can really sit down and be like, okay, am I really wrong? What do I need to change?
Right.
Like, that's how you gain that understanding, and that's how your fear gets built up.
And then that's one of the things about Christianity, where I can see why it's such a stronghold for the people, because it doesn't allow you to have that humble spirit. They'll say that they accept Christ as their savior, but truly humbling down means you're going to just do what he says.
Right. It doesn't allow you to be humble or fearful
whatsoever,
because you can walk out of church and do that same wicked stuff all over again.
As much as I didn't subscribe to Christianity, I would go with friends that would like invite me,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be in there like,
sitting there, got your head bowed with your eyes closed. You don't even know what to think when they praying.
And then like I walk out there like, you know what? This like feels good. Like it felt like a drug, but then it just dissipates. And I'm right back into the same evil.
Somebody asked you, what did you learn in church today? You're like,
hey, you know what? For like the first few years, I was in the truth. That was like my favorite question to ask anybody on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Pastor brought it out today in his sermon. Yeah. So what did you learn today in church?
Exactly.
And it's always crickets.
Exactly.
It was always, how come you always got to come on here and start arguments? I'm like, I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just asking a simple question. What did you learn?
That's an honest inquiry.
Because the priest's lips should keep knowledge.
Exactly.
So what are you learning in church?
Exactly. And if you give me one scripture, you didn't learn nothing.
You're like, oh, well, I learned how to count a bunch of 20s that were in the collection plate. Like, oh, that's fantastic. But, I mean, what does that do with your salvation? I learned that there was a handful of 20s in the collection plate. But read John 14, verse 26 again.
St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name.
So now, the scripture tells you that it's the scriptures that give us comfort, right? Christ is letting us know here, thousands of years ago, that he won't leave us comfortless. Because he knew that there's going to come a point in time where we'll be completely lost and desolate as a people. That's why when you read in Ezekiel 37, like you really got to meditate on these things that's being said, right? When the Lord asked Ezekiel, he said, shall these bones live? And he's like, these bones? Thou knowest, Lord. I mean,
He's like, hey, I don't want that on me.
Because he saw the positions we'd be in the last days.
Exactly.
The conditions that we'd be in, and was like, ooh,
I don't know about that batch of people right there.
He's like, hey. He's like, these ends and bees and everything else, like
these ratchets and not Rachels.
These dudes that are protests and twerking and doing everything else, like these are like the people that you're saying that can live. Thou knowest, Lord. Right? So he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Because after that supposition of time when people had the contrite heart and they came back to the Father and started to seek him 10 times the more, then the Spirit of the Holy Ghost came on men to go out to the earth and teach people. And that's what you're seeing now today as the fruits of that. Start with just me waking up one day and saying, oh, man, you know what? Something's in my spirit that says I should wear fringes. I don't know what the hell fringes were. I didn't know that I could even grow a beard until I started to even grow a beard.
Mm-hmm.
All these things. But it says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And the things that need to be brought back into our remembrance, it's not just the identity, although it starts there. So let's get that real quick. 1 Kings 8, verse 46. It starts there first. Repentance is a process. It's not just a one-time thing. Christians tell me, I've heard it numerous times, oh yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. And I ask them, well, what's that mean?
Right. How?
If you're born again, that means that you're learning to live your life all over again.
You're a babe.
That's what being born again means. No one's born with knowledge of everything, well, except Christ, right? And you can only imagine he was laying there as like an infant with all this wisdom, but just couldn't articulate it in words, right? Because he was a baby. But no one's born knowing all things. And like, okay, yeah. Listen, it's a continual thing. That's why Christ used the analogy that you must needs be born again. You have to learn to live your life all over again and do really what it means to start seeking God 10 times the more.
You said examine yourself. That's not just a one-time thing. That's a daily thing. You have to prove yourself on a daily basis.
I actually had someone tell me that it was a one-time thing.
That's ridiculous.
That you acknowledge your shortcomings and your faults that one time, you forsake them, and then you're good. So I was like, okay. So when Paul also wrote that he dies daily, so then what's that mean? And it's crickets, because it lets you know that people don't study and they don't seek out their own salvation with fear and trembling. They just parakeet what they hear in the churches. And the churches is not designed to bring our people salvation. It's the Antichrist that's designed to bring people further from God. So rather than seeking the Lord 10 times the more, you're actually going away from the Lord 1,000 times the more, right, in doing that. But read that.
This is the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8 and verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not.
So that's the first thing. There's no man that don't sin not. And that took me a long time to actually really understand that, what that really meant. When you read in 1 John, it tells you that we all have sin, right? Kind of like when Christ said, when they all wanted to stone that prostitute, right? He says, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. If I was there, I would have dropped my shit first.
Right. Bloop, bloop. Standing.
And it would have been rocks falling. Bloop, 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 bloop. Because we all deal with something. Every single last one of us deal with something. It's not an excuse to sin. It's for you to examine yourself with you being the faith and overcome that sin. That way you could be found worthy to receive that salvation that you so earnestly, desperately want to receive. Otherwise, why are you here? What are you striving for? Go out, live it up. YOLO, right? Mm-hmm. YOLO. Until that sky cracks.
And then it's over.
And it's, uh-oh. It's not YOLO then, but read that again. I'm sorry.
1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy.
And he was angry with us, and he did deliver us to the enemy. That's why we grew up thinking that we were African Americans and Mexicans and Puerto Ricans and Haitians and Jamaicans, so on and so forth. All these titles that were given to us in slavery that God never called us. He called us the Israelites, 12 tribes of Israel, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Issachar, Manasseh, Ephraim, so on and so forth. Read on.
So that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet, if they bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness.
See, it says, yet, if they shall bethink themselves. So that identity piece is the first thing. You can't repent as a black person. You can't repent as a Mexican or a Peruvian. You have to repent as an Israelite from your respective tribe. That's the only way the Lord's going to acknowledge any of your prayers anyways. You can't repent as anything other than what God called you. But it says, and make supplication and say, we have done perversely. That's us acknowledging that offense that we read about in Hosea 5. When the Lord said, I'm going to go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense. And at one point in time, I did that. You did that. Again, it's not an overnight thing. But in us being born again and seeking him 10 times the more, it was like, damn, you know what? Because I guarantee there's laws that we still break that we don't even know. That's why in our prayers, we have to ask the Lord, listen, forgive me for my sins that I've committed against thee, knowingly or unknowingly. Because Christ made it very clear in the book of Revelation 2, that which you have, hold fast already. Basically saying, listen, I gave you enough to obtain salvation. And you're meant to see through a glass darkly. But that doesn't give you the excuse to sin and say, oh, you know what? Well, the scripture says that the just man falls 7 times. That's a cop-out. Mm-hmm. Because Christ also said that you can be perfect as his Father is perfect. That's another one in Christianity, right?
And Christ also was an example to show you can do it.
Absolutely.
Like he walked this world. He turned away from everything. He was the example.
It's funny that you bring that up, because that's the conversation I was having with somebody, because they think Christ was this figure that was just not like us. And it's like, no, listen, it's very clear in the scriptures that he had to be made like unto us. That way he could be tempted in all things.
Exactly.
He himself was tempted to have a lying spirit, a drunkard spirit, a adultery. Like, he was tempted in all those things, right? Maybe not the adultery thing, because scripture says he wasn't comely. But I don't know. I don't know, right? He was, still, but he was a powerful speaker, right?
But still, he served as the example for us to not do it.
No, so that's the ultimate thing, is that mm-hmm. he showed that we can walk in these things.
Exactly.
So that way we have no excuse on that day. We have no excuse. Now, never mind. I won't go down that rabbit hole. I won't. I refuse. But it says that we should bethink ourselves, right? Go back to Brute 4, verse 28. So that identity piece is the first part in seeking the Lord, acknowledging who you are, seeing yourself in the curses and saying, you know what, those fit my people. Because another lie that's freaking perpetrated throughout the earth is, well, at one point in time, everyone was in slavery. And it's like, okay, let's say that is true. Let's even bite on that real for a second. But not all nations went into slavery on slave ships,
right,
with yokes of iron.
Right.
To the degree that they were stripped from their nationality. Because I've talked to so-called Asians, and they'll tell you, oh, my ancestors go back to the Yang dynasty of the 16th, this, that, whatever. Or my family goes back to this and that. We're the only ones whose history starts in slavery. Therefore, the curses fit us to the T.
Right. And then on top of that, you ask a so-called black person, who were you before slavery?
Right.
They don't know how to answer it. Most of them say, oh, I was Egyptian. No, you weren't.
No. And you know what's funny about that, too, is that everyone wants to be Egyptian, right?
Exactly.
Everyone wants to be from Mizraim, which is the Egyptians, right? That son of Ham. But no one wants to be Put.
And they don't realize this hidden treasure right here shows you how royal you really were.
Oh.
Much more royal than any Egyptian.
Well, and plus the scripture says that the Egyptians fell and... And then, you know what? There's another thing, too, where they'll say, oh, I'm from Africa. Well, which part of Africa?
Right.
Africa has, what, like 52 countries? Some of that, right? Like right. 52 countries?
It's so big, it has every single season going on one continent.
Crazy. Crazy.
Like, we're on one season in the United States. You go to North Africa, it's winter. South Africa, it's summer.
Well, and then the other thing, too, is that what they show us on maps of Africa
is not
what is actually Africa, mm-hmm. right? Because... The scripture says that the wicked was born lying, right? Mm-hmm. So it's
right,
actually a much more scaled down version of what it actually really is.
Right.
So
it's much bigger than what they portray it to be.
But like I was saying, though, we have the richest culture because our culture and history go back to Genesis 1:1. Everyone wants to be African, but it's like, okay, so which part of Africa? And if you can't tell me which part, then you're not African, obviously.
Exactly.
But Brute 4, verse 28 again.
The book of Baruch, chapter 4, and verse 28. For as it was your mind to go astray from God, so being returned, seek him 10 times more.
So we dealt with the first part about going astray. And then we talked about that, how it was us that didn't want to keep the commandments, how we fell away, we went into captivity. We talked about so being returned, about how we had the identity first, how we had teachers that were risen up in the last days to come comfort us and bring us the scriptures back into remembrance. Now let's deal with seek him 10 times more. Let's go to Sirach 2, verse 16. Sirach chapter 2 and verse 16.
The book of Sirach chapter 2 and verse 16. They that fear the Lord will seek that which is well-pleasing unto him, and they that love him shall be filled with the law.
You see that? In seeking the Lord, you're going to do what's well-pleasing unto him. Same thing going back to the example he's earlier about having that earthly father. And maybe it wasn't your father. Maybe it was your uncle. Or it could have been your mother, whatever. Whoever it was, this figure in your life that you saw on this pedestal that you want to achieve, seeking that person's approval in whatever it was. If you wanted to get good grades or be the best athlete or be whatever it was that you wanted this person's approval. God is saying, if you want to please me, all you got to do is keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So when seeking the Lord 10 times the more and bethinking ourselves, we have to be filled with the law. So it's this, like how Captain Joshua was saying this past Sabbath about changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this constant evolving and changing in this walk. It's the same thing back in the world. You know what? That pickup line wasn't working at the club, so maybe I got to come up with a new one, right? This outfit that I thought was on fleek is not hitting it as well. Maybe I should go a different route. Right. Maybe I got to bring out the Easter shoes, right? I don't know, right? Or if maybe, like, if you played ball, you know what? That move's not working, so now I got to get in the gym and come up with something different.
Right.
Let me go with a Euro step now. In wickedness, you were able to evolve whatever it was that you needed to adapt to.
Right.
But now when serving the Lord, we think we just say, ha, ha, Jesus.
I'm good.
The blood. The blood of Jesus.
Put me in the pool real quick. I'm good.
Right. Dip me as a homosexual, and I mean come up as a wet homosexual. It doesn't work like that.
Hey, it's crazy, too, in the world. Like you said, if you want to perfect something, you sit on YouTube for hours.
Mm-hmm.
You'll watch all the tutorials. You'll go outside. You know, you'll dribble with the left, dribble with the right, shoot with the left, shoot with the right. You'll stand in the mirror, you know, button up.
Yep.
Three buttons, two buttons.
Yep.
Pink shoes, yellow shoes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and when it comes to the law, Bible said over there and collect us.
You know what? It's that's also a sign of faith too, right? Like faith is based upon your actions. I don't have faith that I'm going to get paid if I don't go to work and punch the time clock. And then my wife says, "Hey, are you going to work today?" It's like the fourth day that you miss. Oh no, sweetheart, I have faith that I'm going to get paid. No, my faith is based upon my, like you said, listen, if I want to be a good ball player, cause listen, I did that. For the whole summer, I would walk with my right hand behind my back and just dribble with my left hand because that's what my coach told me to do. He said, hey, listen, this summer, work on your left hand. Shoot with it, do layups with it, dribble with it.
Yep.
But then when it comes to this, now it's, oh, no, I'm good.
Right. We tell somebody, hey, study, read four chapters a day. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm washing the blood of Jesus.
I'm washed. Ha! Ha! Listen, the scripture says, blessed is he that readeth. It doesn't just say that just because. It says that because faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. You will never know where you fall short. You'll never be able to fully self-examine and see where you fall short and see whether you be in the faith if you don't study. If you don't study, you know yourself better than anybody else knows you. So when seeking the Lord 10 times the more, you have to understand, listen, I have this spirit on me, this spirit on me, this spirit on me. Let me get counsel on how to deal with these things, and let me start applying the scriptures that pertain to these things. Because that's the other thing. Most people are great at self-examination. Yeah, you're right. And they're great at accountability. Yep. I got the devil on me. But they suck at application.
Right.
That's where we fall short mostly as a people, is the application. And that's why you see somebody here for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and they've hit that spiritual ceiling. And then when correction comes, now they're offended. Mm-hmm. Now they're offended. All those say, oh, I didn't say that because I was embarrassed. And that's people all the time. When it comes to your soul, saving your soul, you should never be embarrassed.
Exactly.
There's nothing you should ever be embarrassed about. When you're seeking the Lord 10 times the more, and you're seeking the approval of God rather than men, what are you embarrassed about?
Right, because you're not in this by yourself.
Like, I get it. In the earthly sense, it's embarrassing. Some things that people deal with. You know, it could be a whole slew of things. I'm not going to get into that because I've heard some stuff. And I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know if I would have said that.
Nah.
But even then, I'm like, hey, bro, it is what it is.
Right.
Right. Here's the scriptures. Build yourself up. And it's
fast to pray.
More. Yeah. Right. Hey, pray and fast hard. You need to be fasting like 7 times a week. Don't ever eat again because that spirit got to come off you heavy. But more often than not, though, time goes by, and you'll never know they dealt with that particular spirit.
Exactly.
Because they examined and they sought the Lord 10 times the more, and they wanted to fix what it was that they were falling short from. Especially now, too, with all the prophecies coming to pass, there's so much things happening in the earth. This is the best and scariest time to ever be alive.
It really is. It really, it truly is.
Because I'm like, okay, time's short. And then I'm like, oh, gosh.
Funny. When I go for my hikes, I hike up the mountain, I just be looking when I get to the top, and I just be sitting there thinking, what if the sky cracked right now?
Yep.
What am I going to do?
Yep.
I'm at the top of this mountain. What's going to happen? Like, everybody else down there, my wife at the house, did I do enough? Like, is the chariot going to come get me, or am I going to get stabbed? Is my angel going to take me out?
There's a scripture that says when it comes to serving the Lord, you can never do enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
That lets you know how much enough is not enough.
Right.
Right? It says the righteous shall be scarcely saved. So how much the more of people that are resting on their past righteousness? Because you got people that come in, and I'm not talking they get into a position or a rank or whatever that requires more administrative things, right? Taking a seat and not doing certain things as far as being on the front lines, but doing more things back door, council and being over different things. But I'm talking that person that was here and just slowly begins to backslide, and that zeal gets kind of lost. But in their mind, because Satan has a hold of them and they're not continuing to seek the Lord 10 times more, they think that they've done enough. And they think that they can say, well, 5 years ago, remember, I edited those 5 videos.
I took out the trash every Sabbath a couple years ago.
And then that's when the Lord's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right. Worst words you could ever hear.
You have to strive unto death, Paul said. Paul said in Timothy, he said, listen, I've finished my course. I fought the good fight. That's what we all want to be able to say.
Right.
Because I know me, 110%, I'm positive that I can't say that right now. There ain't no way.
Exactly. Hey, but you go on the street and ask somebody that, oh, yeah, I go hard. I go hard for Christ.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Right? I go hard for the Lord. Baby face, no fringes, but they go hard for the Lord.
Right.
Listen, if I even begin to even utter that I'm good, then that's when the Lord's like, smite him.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wake up every day like, okay, I gotta get on my stuff. Like, you always gotta stay ready in this thing. You can't just sit back and chill and be like, all right, I got the house, got the wife, got the car, got the brothers. Nah. Because that split second.
You will hear that, Ashaya? You got the house, you got the wife, the kids, the car. All right. That's what it means, though, in seeking the Lord 10 times the more.
Right.
It's basically saying to never get comfortable, to never get complacent, because complacency kills. That's a big thing we said in, like, the military. You say that a lot, too? Complacency kills. When you get complacent, that's when you let your guard down.
Right.
And when you let your guard down, then that's when you're inviting Satan to come in and now try you. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm telling you, that's where nobody wants to be in this walk. Is, listen, Satan's going to try you anyways, but why not be ready for Satan to come? Right. Why not know he's coming versus being that undefensed house that thinks it's good, mm-hmm. but it's like, no, I'm a huff and puff and I'm going to blow that house down because it's made of straw, mm-hmm. versus that strong armor that the Lord told you to put on, right? Right.
And you're given a word that's sharper than a two-edged sword, as the scriptures say. So you can always be ready for Satan.
Absolutely. Every single time.
You have the defense. But what are you going to do with that sword?
One thing I always say that when I prepare classes or bring out any kind of lessons is that I think of myself, okay, where can I be built up? Because like you said, it's that two-edged sword. Where can I cut me? Because if it cuts me, it's not to say, oh, because I'm a captain of IUIC, that it should cut everybody else as well. But if it cuts one other person, then all praises. If one person received correction through the class, then all praises the Most High in Christ. Right? From there, let's go to Sirach 35, verse 3. We got a few minutes left. Sirach 35, verse 3.
Give them a spiritual band-aid and prepare them to be cut again next week.
That's what it is. You know what it is, too, is that a lot of people go through this walk expecting to be corrected because they think they're good. Because the scripture says when correction comes, it's grievous. And, oh, I'm telling you, it's grievous. It really is. And spirits jump on you. But that's when you really know somebody, mm-hmm. is when they get corrected.
That's how are they going to react to it?
That's that fight or flight thing, right? Or are they going to flee in the face of adversity and be offended in Christ? Or are they going to stay and humble down and say, you know what? There's nothing, like it says in Romans, that's going to pull me away from the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because everything can be forgiven except for blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So as long as you have air in your lungs and you're able to face the east and repent from that sin, then just do so and keep it moving. Keep it going.
Right.
It's hard, right, when you build this name because you do a million things right. And the one thing you do wrong, that's what everybody remembers. But at the end of the day, we're here to serve God and not please men. That's what we have to understand. Sirach 35, verse 3.
The book of Sirach, chapter 35, and verse 3. To depart from wickedness is a thing pleasing to the Lord. And to forsake unrighteousness is a propitiation.
So it says to depart from wickedness is a thing that's pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing to God when you're able to self-examine, see what it means to please him and seek him 10 times the more. That's all he wants. Like any father, right? Someone told me, they said, you know what? No, it wasn't someone. It was Oprah that said it, actually. She said, how could I serve a God that's jealous of me? Right? That was her question that, like, she had raised to the people. And people, you know, because it's Oprah. Oh, yeah, you're right. But it's very simple. If I have a child that I provide housing for, clothing for, food for, that I would literally die for, to provide for this child, and I'm raising him up to be that avenger that God tells me to raise your child to be, and then he called me Amariah and cussed me out on a daily basis, and then called the neighbor dad, came home and was like, oh man, my dad next door loves me and he does everything for me. That would make me feel some type of way. That's where that jealousy comes in. God has done everything for us and then some, freely, and we forsook it. So he's like, damn, I'm giving you all these things, all these blessings, and you still choose to serve Satan over me.
Exactly. We're so falsely claiming to be washed in the blood of his son.
Right. Because we got to understand, too, that all the same feelings and emotions that we have, God has.
Exactly.
So he's able to be angry. He's able to be sad. He's able to be jealous. He's able to be happy and jovial. Because, listen, God has a sense of humor. When you read the scriptures, he's actually pretty funny.
Right.
And you're like, yo, like, this dude's like cussing people out, like left and right. He says some pretty funny stuff.
He does. Like when he told Moses, when Moses asked, who am I going to tell the people sent me? He said, don't worry about that. I am that I am.
Right, exactly.
Like, why are you worried about all that? That used to be one of my favorites.
He said, just tell him I am sent you.
Right.
And like, exactly. And it's funny because when you put yourself into that situation, you're probably like, man,
right. You got to ask yourself, am I going to go tell them that?
But then yeah, Yahya is like, see, that's his name. Ahaya Sharahaya. That's his name. Hey, listen, that's a whole... Actually, next week, Lord willing, life lasts, I'm going to do a class called The Hebrew... The name, the Hebrew, or the laws. To basically prove that you don't need to speak Hebrew or say any type of name to get salvation. It's the laws and the faith of Christ that bring you salvation, right? But right here, though, it says the propitiation. The propitiation basically is the coming back into something. That's the seeking the Lord 10 times the more. So when he says that to depart from wickedness is pleasing to God, and forsake unrighteousness is a propitiation. Meaning, forsaking unrighteousness is the beginning of that process of coming back, remembering who you are, and serving the Lord 10 times the more. Seek him while he's still yet to be found. Because there's a scripture, I believe it's in Isaiah. He says, hey, listen, seek me while I'm able to be found. Because there's going to come a day when the grace period is up, the sky cracks. It's not going to be this thing where, hey, Othniel, now you see me. Now do you believe?
Right.
Yes.
It's not going to be like that, because where is it in Hebrews? It says, like, once you learn and you continue to willfully sin, there remains no more grace. So get it while you can. Correct yourself and examine yourself while you have the opportunity to do so, because there's going to be that day where your grace is going to run out.
Grace is a supposition of time, and time ends for everything. There's no such thing as any punishment that lasts forever, just like there's no such thing as any kingdom that lasts forever, except for God's kingdom. This kingdom has an expiration date, and it's the patience and the faith of the saints to just wait for that expiration date, and vengeance is of the Lord, all right? So with that, that's the Power Hour. All right, again, I'm Captain Amariah. I pray everyone receives some edification. Tune in Saturday morning, all right, with Captain Yahshua. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Lego. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running scared because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them lost. When the Lord will return, Babylon, we are solid. We got them on lock. God chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen, get ready for our whip to crack.
Dang.
Israel is back. The dragon is wrong because we're fleeing from sin and now we're buried.
Better for maybe next time when I'm on?
Nah, I mean, like, the more.